I've collected some quotes this morning in relation to the topic about satisfaction. It's quite an ironic situation. Our attempts to find material happiness are considered to be insignificant or ridiculous, but our desire to enjoy material happiness is tremendous. Our strong desire to enjoy dead matter is certainly an illusory state of the mind. Frustration and disappointment in material sense gratification can lead to spiritual success. By realizing Sri Krishna as our only friend, true friend, this simple understanding can bring one to a new life of spiritual happiness in the company of the Lord. Material life fills us with frustration and disappointment. And if we have if we actually can attain this one simple realization, and that realization is that Sri Krishna is our only true friend. And then, by this understanding, we can come to a new life of spiritual happiness in the company of the Lord. Krishna is telling Uddhava in Uddhava Gita, Maya Santushta Manasa Sarva Sukamaya Disha. He says, Sarva Sukamaya Disha. Disha means directions. He said, Maya Santushta Manasa. When one's mind becomes completely satisfied in Krishna, then all the directions will be filled with happiness. Wherever you go, you'll find happiness. And Vishnu Chakravarti gives the analogy of a wealthy man. If a wealthy man travels anywhere in the world, due to his wealth, he will always enjoy the same standard of luxury or happiness. So one who attains the wealth of Krishna's friendship, an actual loving relationship with Krishna, wherever he goes, he'll feel bliss and happiness. Why do we suffer? The nature of the living entity, our very intrinsic nature, is that we're pleasure-seeking, anandamaya. But now we're suffering because we're seeking pleasure on the material platform. And the result is we become entangled in the painful complexities of material existence. So someone may recognize this. Yes, my attempts at material pleasure, they result in frustration. Therefore, let me renounce material pleasure. So we renounce our material pleasure-seeking, but then we become frustrated. And we return to maya. Because variety is the mother of enjoyment. You can't eat, idlis every day. You get tired, you get bored of it. So this, in the Vaikuntha planets, that you can actually find spiritual bliss. Krishna is there in his form, which is made of bliss. And Krishna is surrounded by his blissful associates. Everyone in Goloka Vrindavan is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. In the spiritual planet in Goloka Vrindavan, even the scenery, the birds, the animals, the trees, the lakes and the rivers are fully conscious of Krishna and absorbed in spiritual bliss. So we are meant to go there. This whole material world is simply a preparation. This is our undergraduate training. No one thinks that they're going to stay in college forever. The purpose of being in college is to get out and go out to the world and start get on with your job and your career and your family and your material life. College is just a place we go to attain qualification. We stay for a short time, attain qualification, and go on to our next position. The material world is a college course. We're supposed to study the course here, but to prepare ourselves for the life after the college. If you meet someone in college and you say, what is your agenda? What is your desire? And he said, I'm going to stay in this college for the rest of my life. And you'll think he's cracked. Ati pago. So we are in this material world, we're crazy like that. We think that the purpose of this material world is stay here. The purpose of purpose of this body in this material world is to go to the spiritual world. There's no other purpose. There's no other purpose for the college than to give you qualification to move in this material world peacefully and happily. And there's no other purpose of the material world or this material body than to move out of this world and go to the spiritual world and live peacefully and happily in our eternal position in relation with Krishna. We have to understand that Krishna is a person. Krishna is appearing personally before us with Radharani. The Mahamantra is Radha and Krishna. Don't bring Ram there. Don't bring Sita. Don't bring Ravana. Don't bring Don't bring monkeys. To attain perfection in any endeavor, that one must make have a fixed sankalpa. Mantra does not produce siddhi without sankalpa. So the Maha Mantra, the perfection of Maha Mantra is the eternal loving service of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. So this is sankalpa. Yes, I want this. Sankalpa means resolution, intention, firm resolve, mental fixation. We fix in our mind, I want this mantra gives this fall. Mantra, mantra, fall. Mantra sankalpa, mantra sadhana, mantra fall. So first you fix the sankalpa, then you practice, then attainment, fall, mantra safal. So it's the devotee is asking, what is the meaning of Ram in the Maha Mantra that was given by so many acharyas, especially our Param Guru Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati? Hare is Radharani, everyone agrees. Krishna is Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Vrindavan Sri Krishna, Damodar Madhav, Gopinath, Madan Mohan, Govinda, Krishna. Then Ram, this Ram is Radha Raman Raman. We have our Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Thakurji, Vrindavan me, Radha Raman, Prakat, Prakat Rup Shalagram me, Prakat Rup Radha Raman, Radha Raman Thakurji. So Radha Raman, Radha Raman, that Krishna who gives Raman, gives pleasure. Of course, Raman has degrees of meaning. Raman also means conjugal pleasure. But that Krishna who satisfies and gives the utmost pleasure to Radharani, Raman. So Ramananda Rai is telling Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Ramananda Samvag, Madhilila Adhyaya, chapter 8. He's telling this Maha Mantra is Radha Krishna Yugal Mantra. So we must be convinced of that. Arishta is Radha and Krishna Yugal. Our Stan is Golok, Brajagokul, Sevakunj, Rasatstali, Govardhan, Radhakun, Varsan, and Nandagan. This is our Paramgati. So this is our Sankalpa. I want to go to that Dham. What Dham? Ayodhya Dham? No. Vishnulok? No. Golok? No. Dwarka? No. Mathura? No. Brajagokul. Aradya Bhagavan Brajeshatanyos. Sridham Vrindavanam. We want to go to Sridham Vrindavan. And we go there, we chant this Maha Mantra, which is Yuga Mantra. Radha and Krishna, Radha Raman, and Radha Gopinath, all are there in this mantra. So fixing this in our mind, then this yoga abhyas, mantra abhyas, this sadhana abhyas, everyday practice, and then that paramgati can be attained. But if we think, oh, this mantra is Balaram, this mantra is Ram, this, that, then this is a Khitri Sankalp. Khitri Sankalp, samaste. It's not refined, it's not concentrated. So Sankalp is very powerful, and one must always remember his sankalp and keep every, like, just like a man is on a, captain is on a boat. He doesn't get on the boat and just sit there and steer it. He's always consulting the charts. He's always looking at the navigation maps, consulting a sextant and somebody nowadays computerized navigational equipment in order to chart his course, stay on course and arrive at the destination. He's leaving from Cochin. He's going from Cochin and he wants to go to Paris. We're leaving this material world and then Golok Prapti, as he was saying. Not only Golok, but Rajagokul. Golok Vrindavan. Golok is Vaikuntha. Topmost Vaikuntha is Golok Vrindavan. So we have to always, our sankalpa is our chart and our navigational equipment. Our navigational equipment is Mahamantra and our Anik, Trisandhyam Bandhanam, our Anik, our daily Gayatri Mantra. These are our navigational instruments. But the chart is a sankalp. Jiva Doya. Vaishnav Seva Namruchi. Vrindavandas Thakur Chaitanya Bhagavatam. Namruchi, first Jiva Doya. Compassion. Jiva Kurun. Compassion to Jivas. Pravachan, preaching, book distribution, Harinam, and Prasad distribution, college lecture, satsang, Guya Makyati. Conversing, helping. This is all Jiva Doya. And Vaishnav Seva. Then these two, then Namruchi. Because Krishna is in the heart. Krishna is in the heart of all the Jivas. And Krishna is in the heart of all the Vaishnavas. If you please the Vaishnava and you please the Jiva, then Namprabhu is happy. And when Nam Prabhu is happy, he gives you treasure. And treasure is Ruchi. Ruchi, then Asakti, then Bhav, then Prem. Nam Ruchi, Nam Asakti, Nam Bhav, Nam Prem. Vasudeva Kata Ruchi Shan Mahat Sevana Vipro. Right? In Bhagavatam, first. Shushusho Sharadanasya, Shushusho Sharadanasya. Vasudeva Kata Ruchi Shan Mahat Sevana Vipro. So it says there, Vasudeva Kata Ruchi, taste for Vasudeva Kata. Vasudeva Kata is Nam. Nam is Vasudeva. Krishna Nam, Vasudeva Nam. So, Kata Ruchi, Nam Ruchi. Shushusho Sharadanasya. Then he says, Shan Mahat Sevara Vipro. Mahat Seva. So, Vaishnav Seva, Mahan Seva, Vaishnav Seva. And we have to think that living in the heart of the Jiva, Nam Prabhu lives in the heart of the Jiva. And Nam Prabhu lives in the heart of the Vaishnava. So we please the Jiva and please the Vaishnavas, and Nam Prabhu is pleased. And when someone is happy, then they give you what you want. You're asking, oh, how can I get Nam Ruchi? That means you want Nam Ruchi. So if you want something from Nam, then you have to please the Nam. You please the Nam. Nam says, you want Ruchi? Okay, take. Chanaka Pandit tells in Niti Shastra that we can take gold even from a filthy place, which means that we should try to be essence seekers, saragrahi. Saragrahi. Seek the essence. Wherever you find essence, you seek it. If you have gana ras, you have gana, sugar cane, then you can't settle for the patra or the cane. You have to put it through the press and you squeeze out, you extract the ras, gana ras. So everyone is like cane. Everywhere there is sugar cane. And you have to squeeze that sugar cane. It's called saragrahi. Get the sar, get the essence, the rasa. So you're saying somewhat, oh, sahajiyas are bad, they cry, but we can see the bad in people, or the bad, or we can see good. It's all a matter of changing our vision. So we can say that the sahaja, those who take things natural or lightly, that they're crying, they're showing tears, crying for Krishna. Oh, Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, and they cry, and the Bengalis when they sing, and then they misbehave by breaking religious principles. So that's bad, that they misbehave, their behavior is bad, and they engage in illicit activities, that's bad. But it's also, that's good, that the essence of what is good about them, actually the good thing is they are crying for Krishna. And we look at us, we say, yes, it is good, I'm following the religious principles. It is good, we're following spiritual principles. But it is bad that we're not crying, even in imitation. We're not even crying in imitation of the sahajiyas. So it's not that they're all bad. The good thing is, at least they're crying for Krishna. Whether it's imitative or whatever it is, they're doing it. And we can't even imitate it. So we should rather feel so critical of ourselves. We should say, oh, this is good. They're crying. I wish I could cry. I can't cry. Their hearts are somewhat, maybe their hearts are slippery, maybe their hearts are soft, or whatever. But at least we should try to fake cry. Follow the principles. Follow all the regular principles. That's good. Don't give up that goodness. That's the foundation of advancement. But at least pretend to cry. Or cry, mock crying. Or try to cry. Or fake a cry. We can't even do that. So hard-hearted we are. Nirvasesh, Shunyavad. So we should see, well, this is a good thing. And so then as Bhakti Santa Saraswati, when his disciples asked him, they said, oh, Guruji, our hearts are hard. We can't cry for Krishna. Then he said, you should cry that you can't cry. You should cry over the fact that you can't cry. Well, somehow, cry when you're chanting Hare Krishna. And you may develop an idea of what a reflection or an abbas of what it's like. Oh, Hare Krishna. This is fake. But something's happening. There's some change. Something's changing. Something's softening. Because some emotions have to move in your body and stimulate the water element of your body for tears to be produced. Without the movement of emotion, there's no production of tears. But if there, so somehow if your emotions, even if they're imitative or say false emotions, move in such a way that you cry something when you're chanting Hare Krishna, that's, you're going in the right direction. Because Because that crying can only be produced by some emotive factor, a movement of emotions. Just display. Okay, somebody display. Can anyone here even make a display? No, I'm just saying it will help you. When you just try to do it, then it will help you by realizing how hard your heart is. Because when you try to do it, you find out, I can't even cry when I'm trying to mock a cry or fake a cry. I can't even do it. My heart is so hard. Ladies is easier. They do it all the time with their husbands. They do it all the time with their husbands. They practice in the womb. Crying. They have a PhD in this department. Men that can learn this from their wives. You know. Wives cry, oh, give me money, give me money. So the husband says, okay, be quiet, don't cry. Then when he gives the money, then he should cry. He's very sober and controlled. And then she says, oh, Prabhu, money, money, money. Ooh. Okay, be quiet. Don't cry. I don't want to see you cry. 10,000 rupees, don't. Then when he gives the money, oh, I gave the 10,000 rupees. Obviously, the thing is, our success is that by mercy of Guru and Krishna, we're following the principles. So that's the foundation. That's the foundation by which progress can be made, these four religious principles. So your question is how crying, forced imitative crying or mocking crying will help us. There's the points I mentioned. It was just, when we even try to do it, and we find out, oh, I can't even do it. I can't create even imitative emotions. So even Prabhupada, in some purports, he actually glorifies them. He said, like there's some people that chant some imitative mantras, Nittai Gaur Radhisham. But he said, because they're chanting Nittai Gaur, that is good. Prabhupada said, it is good, they're chanting Nittai Gaur. And by Nittai Gaur's mercy, they will get some illumination about the proper Siddhanta. So nothing is all bad. Nothing. We have to find, that's why I said Saragrahi. We have to find the goodness in that, explore that good point, and apply that good point in our own bhajan. Not that we go around, but if you try to do it, you can't do it. You really get practice at home first, and if you get good at it, then come to the temple. Practice in the privacy of your home, and if you get good at imitative crying, then you can come to the temple and do a display. And when you do the display, then everyone will say, wow, I've been in ISKCON for 20 years. I never saw anyone once cry when they're chanting Hare Krishna. And this Prabhu was sitting in the corner of the temple. He was crying. Oh, now I'm inspired. It's possible. I actually, seeing is believing. I saw someone cry. It's actually possible. So even though he's making a display, it may inspire you to go deep in yourself and find those real emotions and those real feelings for Krishna, in which you may genuinely cry at some point in your development. It's an interesting topic, but we should. That's why Bhaktisanta Saraswati is saying you should cry over the point you can't cry. So what kind of crying is that? Is that genuine emotional outburst? No, he's saying, I can't cry, I'm so unfortunate, I can't cry. So he's saying you should cry he's saying cry, not because of love for Krishna or viraha bhav or intense separation from Krishna or Vaishnava, yenila primadan, breaking your head and vilap, Vaishnava vilap, lamentation and viraha vilap. That's not that, which is something genuine and true and real, but just crying because you can't cry. Even he's encouraging. Squeeze some kind of rust out of the dry, bamboo-like heart. Put your heart through the rollers, the press. Put it through and see if anything comes out. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Hare Krishna Maha Mantra ki jai, Iskan ki jai, Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha kripa.